You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Russell Wilson looking for a new team. The Broncos looking for a new quarterback.
He gonna 1-2 step his ass out of Denver.
I think that's happening. And we're looking for a condiment you could eat by itself? Is that what we're saying here?
No. We're saying it's ridiculous to eat a condiment by itself. Because you're saying that you would eat peanut butter off of a spoon.
I'd eat peanut butter off a spoon.
And I'm just trying to envision
right
somebody else eating a condiment by itself. Like, nobody's going to eat mayonnaise by itself. Nobody's going to eat ketchup or mustard by itself.
Disgusting.
Like, you need a vehicle for it. And that's what I was saying peanut butter
needs. Is peanut butter a condiment, though?
But what is it? If it's not a condiment, then what is it?
It's just a spread.
It's a spread?
Spreads are different than condiments?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess spreads you could have by itself. But like, anything you would probably label under the spread category, you could eat, like,
you could have jelly by itself?
Yeah, you'd eat jelly by itself.
Yeah. So you would just eat jelly off of a spoon?
If you had jelly left over...
What kind of person are you?
If you had jelly left over from anything that you would eat, and it would be on the plate, you wouldn't scoop it up?
No, I'm saying, I'm just saying.
We're talking out of the jar.
You would choose to eat the jelly by itself. Like, I'm just going to take a couple of scoops of jelly, put it on a plate, and eat it?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, so that's how weird. That's why it sounds weird
but
to do that with peanut butter.
People do it all the time with peanut butter.
But that's why I think it's so wrong.
Smalls does it.
That's when we came up with a term, peanut butter naked. It just doesn't make sense. Peanut butter naked does not make sense.
Would you like to defend yourself?
I would not only eat peanut butter naked, I would eat Nutella naked, too.
Maybe flip where you're using some of the wording on that. By itself. You would say by itself, right? So you would say...
As soon as I said it, I instantly regretted it. He started this.
So I'm going to sit by at itself. Home with a spoon and a jar of peanut butter.
You know what?
In my birthday suit.
I'll tell you, that sounds dark. That sounds like a bad day.
Doesn't sound great.
I'm in a dark place.
No, it sounds like a lot is going wrong in my life right
now. I would eat Nutella by itself.
An intervention. There is something really wrong with you all. I don't understand it. You have to have a vehicle for it.
Have you ever tried
a cracker, a piece of toast, something, a bagel, something. Not by itself.
Well, what about, like we've said, because we always have to bring things back to hibachi, you and I have both said, Cece, that we would eat that ginger sauce or drink that ginger sauce, basically.
Yeah, but
without anything else.
Yeah, but we're saying that it comes with the meal, and you put it on the salad, and you put it on, you know, whatever you get, the chicken, the shrimp, it just goes well. And then you're going to have a little bit left over, and you turn to your left, you turn to your right, make sure nobody's looking, and you just pop it in there, and you go about your business.
Yeah.
It's like a little finisher.
But
it's not the entree. It's not like, oh man, I can't wait. I got a fresh jar of Skippy at the crib. I can't wait to get a spoon and get into that one. No, said no one ever.
Yeah, but I think people look at that almost in a weird way, like ice cream.
Peanut butter is not ice cream.
It's not. I said like ice cream. So you would scoop it in a way. I'm telling you, way more people are like Smalls than you realize on this.
Ice cream. I'm not ordering peanut butter from Instacart and thinking that it's going to be a dessert like ice cream.
I didn't say it was. I'm just saying. Okay, well, we can have our next guest weigh in on this. We've already got his food takes over the course of time here. Adam Schefter, he is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Adam. All right, Schefter, obvious first question. In or out on peanut butter?
In.
In.
You know what? And if I could cast a vote for my five dogs, I get five ins.
So well done.
Okay, Shefty, but are you okay with peanut butter by itself with no vehicle? just peanut butter with a spoon out of the jar?
My dogs are not as much for me.
Okay.
My dogs, there's nothing that they would like more than a spoonful of peanut butter. Like, if you could give them anything... That would be like us, you know, having a slice of pizza. Like, give me pizza every day, any day, anytime. Dogs, give them a spoonful of peanut butter, and they're thrilled.
You know, I got to tell you, I am so dumb that when Adam just said my five dogs, I thought he meant his friends initially. I'm like, five of his friends are eating peanut butter too. Like the whole Schefter crew is eating peanut butter. I didn't know you actually meant the actual dogs that are eating peanut butter. All right. Anyway, we digress.
For all the dogs.
Adam, today is obviously a big day in terms of the franchise tag. We will get to that. But want to start with the big news from yesterday that you first reported about Russell Wilson in Denver. What's next for both parties, the Broncos and Russ?
Well, it's a situation where they're going to officially release him on the start of the league year a week from tomorrow. But now he's got the ability to go talk to teams and be able to strike a deal. And here's the thing. Any team that would want to sign Russell Wilson doesn't have to compensate the Denver Broncos. And any team that wants to sign Russell Wilson knows that the Broncos already have guaranteed him $39 million for this upcoming season. So they really only have to pay him, let's just say, veteran minimum at its core. And so Russell Wilson becomes a very inexpensive alternative for any team that's looking to address the quarterback position. Plus, you're talking about a guy who's coming off a season where he still did throw, despite any criticism, despite the benching, he threw 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So he was productive while he played. He did have the one poor year in Denver where obviously everything in Denver went south with Nathaniel Hackett as the head coach. And obviously, Russell, that tarnished his reputation some, but I think he comes back this year motivated, and I think he's ready for an opportunity. And again, you don't have to pay him, say, $50 million a year like you do Kirk Cousins. You don't have to compensate the Broncos with draft picks like you do the Bears for Justin Fields. There are all sorts of ways that this will go down, but Russell becomes a very inexpensive alternative for any team that decides it wants to make a move at the quarterback position.
Shefty, do we get a sense of what the market will be for Russell Wilson, and would a prospective team that's interested in him hand him the starting quarterback job?
Well, that'll be the interesting thing here. I think that he'll be in play. I think he's an option for teams like the Steelers and the Raiders. I think he is in play for a team that doesn't get Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, I think, obviously will consider Atlanta, Minnesota primarily. That's not to say that a team like Washington couldn't get in on Kirk Cousins. It certainly could. But to me, the two obvious options would be Atlanta and Minnesota. And obviously, one of them is not going to get him. So if and when they don't get Kirk Cousins, does Russell Wilson become an option? Do I think Russell Wilson is option 1A for these teams? I don't think that. Do I think he's an option across the board because of his situation? I do think that. So I think that's how teams are looking at it, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Adam, another quarterback who's out there or might stay put is Baker Mayfield. What's the latest you can tell us on his situation?
I think obviously Tampa is the one that makes a lot of sense for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. Tampa and Baker have been engaged in conversations about a new deal. As of recently, I don't think they were particularly close. And if the Bucs don't get a deal done with them, I think it opens the door for a team like Atlanta if it doesn't get Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is the first big domino here. He really is. Because we got to know whether he's going to Atlanta or Minnesota. And then you can begin to place the other pieces. If he picks Minnesota, well, then all of a sudden Atlanta can up its efforts to go sign Baker Mayfield. If Kirk Cousins picks Atlanta, then Minnesota's in need of a quarterback. Would Minnesota look at Baker Mayfield? Would it look at Russell Wilson? Would it try to trade up in the draft, as a lot of people believe? Again, there are plan A's, plan B's, plan C's for everybody. And everybody is waiting to see how those plans unfold here in the next 7, 8, 9, 10 days.
Talk with Adam Schefter here on Unsportsmanlike. Adam is brought to us by BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Adam. One name we haven't mentioned yet, Justin Fields. Is he below these other quarterbacks in terms of preferences?
I just think that so far, the best I can tell, the market is probably not as robust as Justin Fields and the Bears would have hoped it would have been. If it were, then maybe there would be a trade already in place that could be executed when the new league year opened next week. And I have not heard that to be the case. I do think that there'll be interest in Justin Fields. A lot of people speculated on Atlanta. you know, I don't see Atlanta necessarily as the landing spot. Something always could change. Again, they could miss out on Kirk Cousins, change their direction, go a different way. But I think that in Atlanta, Raheem Morris came in from Los Angeles running the Sean McVay system. The Falcons' offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, came in from Los Angeles running the Sean McVay system. I think that's what they want to run, and I think that they prefer to do it with a quarterback that they believe fits their mold. So Justin Fields, to me, potentially could be an option in Pittsburgh, could be an option in Las Vegas. There are places he could be. Again, we're into the plans of the quarterbacks, and we have to see how it all shakes out before we can say he's going one place or another.
Shefty, definitely confident is the term that Dak Prescott used when asked about working out a contract extension that keeps Dak Prescott in place beyond 2024. Is that the expectation around the National Football League? And what's the timing on an extension getting hammered out?
Well, the unusual thing to me here is that it is March 5th and the league year opens a week from tomorrow. And everybody was in Indianapolis. And the best I can tell, I don't believe there's any progress at all right now towards a new deal. It doesn't seem like anybody is in a rush to get something done. And while Dak may be confident about getting a new deal, what I would say is if you wanted a new deal, wouldn't you want it in place by the start of the league year when Dak's cap number is scheduled to be over $59 million and there's a team that needs all the salary cap space it could provide? Unless, of course, they decide we've got Mike McCarthy in the last year of his deal. We're moving on from some players, some guys in the last year of the deal. Do we want to just run this all for 1 year and not do something with Dak? Like, is that something that they could and would decide? I don't know. Like, to me, Dak would have been priority 1A. It would have been taken care of by now. It's not. It's still hanging out there. I don't think they're any closer today than they were last week or last month or last year. And so I'm just wondering out loud, was there a change of heart? What are they doing? Why is it taking a while? Don't they want his cap space? So far, the answer to those questions would be no. So you have all these guys going into the last year of their deal in Dallas, including the coaches, and do they figure, hey, let's just give this one big run and then regroup? Or do they try to get something done, which they don't seem to have made a lot of progress towards right now?
It's a last dance before a first dance in Dallas, kind of, is what's going on here. Adam, let's finish with this. This week, obviously, a very tough week for you and the entire sports world and people who understand Chris Mortensen. You came into this job doing similar things to him. He became a mentor and a friend to you, not a competitor. Yeah. What do we need to know that we don't know about the late, great Chris Mortensen?
Well, first and foremost, you say a loss to me and the ESPN family. It's the biggest loss to his wife, Mickey, and his son, Alex, first and foremost. But once we get past that, you know, there's nobody like Mort. There's nobody that was as welcoming, as gracious, as protective, as smart, as willing to teach as Mort was. And I've said that we all have a select few people in our lives who changed the trajectory of our life. And Mort was one of those people in my life. I wouldn't have made it to ESPN without his blessing, endorsement, recommendation, and him welcoming me with open arms. And then once I got there, honestly, he was as close a friend as I had. You know, we were side by side on TV. We talked on the phone. We did the same job. I knew what he went through. He knew what I went through. We sat next to each other during the draft. We were with each other during free agency. And, you know, it will feel very alone without him. When He did the draft last year in Kansas City. We took a picture there on Friday night before he left, and he knew it was going to be his last draft and his last assignment for ESPN at that time, and I kind of knew it too, even though he didn't say it. And we took a picture, and I thought back on all the special times that we had shared and all the times that I was fortunate to be around him. And, you know, I'll miss having him by my side through almost all the TV experiences that we've shared at all the major events, because he simply was the best.
Adam, thank you so much for the time. Perfectly said, and obviously condolences to his family, to you, and everybody obviously around. Yep. Mark, thank you so much, Adam. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody. Talk right. Next week.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Is no news good news around Dallas? Adam Schefter just gave us something very interesting moments ago. Adam Schefter, of course, with us each and every week here on Unsportsmanlike. Adam is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/Adam. So here is what Adam had to say about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys not yet working out a contract.
I don't believe there's any progress at all right now towards a new deal. It doesn't seem like anybody is in a rush to get something done. And while Dak may be confident about getting a new deal, what I would say is if you wanted a new deal, wouldn't you want it in place by the start of the league year when Dak's cap number is scheduled to be over $59 million and there's a team that needs all the salary cap space it could provide? Unless, of course, they decide we've got Mike McCarthy in the last year of his deal. We're moving on from some players, some guys in the last year of the deal. Do we want to just run this all for 1 year and not do something with Dak?
So let's do math on this, because that's really what it is, right? So basically, if you're saying you're not going to get a deal done with Dak by the time the league year starts next week and free agency begins, that means you have closed the amount of cap space available to you to get other guys. And there are going to be other guys out there that are going to go for the highest bidder. Guys that have not had set for life contracts, generational wealth by way of playing football, giving up their bodies, minds, hearts, souls, that they're going to say, I don't care where I go. I care about my grandkids right now. Cowboys won't have access to those guys because the cap space will be lowered. So what Adam just told us is that if they don't get this done by next week, it doesn't matter if it gets done because you miss out on the window of getting the guys you actually want.
No doubt. And the big money guys always go early in free agency. Like, you get a sense of what those guys are looking for at the scouting combine. Mm-hmm. So contrary to popular belief, that is the start of the legal tampering period about free agency, not 2 days before the start of the new league year. So I just think that if you're the Dallas Cowboys, this is business that you want put to bed so you can go ahead and move forward with being able to add in places where your team was a little bit deficient in years prior. So the timing of it all seems very ominous in terms of them making a long-term commitment to Dak Prescott. If anything, it's what Dan Graziano said a few weeks ago. The Cowboys will unilaterally lower his cap hit by converting his base salary in 2024 to signing bonus. That gives them about $18 million more in cap flexibility, and that's money that they could utilize in other areas on this team.
I thought the Dallas Cowboys couldn't have more pressure on them. This is a team that needs to win and needs to win badly. Mm-hmm. But now with this happening, with Mike McCarthy being on a lame duck and the situation with Dak, it feels like the pressure is increasing tenfold, knowing that you have to make both of those decisions in short order.
Yeah, but those are two individuals that are in leadership positions in your organization, and you're not showing a lot of commitment beyond this year. Matter of fact, no commitment.
None.
So if you're another player in that locker room, do you respect Mike McCarthy or Dak Prescott as an authoritative figure? Probably not. And for an organization that has shown itself to have culture problems over the last several years, which have led to early exits in the postseason, I don't know how this gets you closer to where you want to go. But I guess the flip side of that conversation is, how does paying Dak Prescott $60 million a year get you closer to where you want to be?
Is there an argument, and maybe a rhetorical question, because I think there is, that Graz's suggestion, while I do think they're going to do that if they don't work out a contract extension, actually is talking out of both sides of your mouth if you're the Cowboys. Let me explain. If you lower the cap number by $18 million this year, all you're doing is pushing it to the future.
Sure.
If you're pushing it to the future and you're saying this is a last dance, one and done year, why are you hamstringing yourself in the future when you don't actually have a quarterback? Because Dak is going to walk. I believe if they don't sign him long term, he is going to walk after this year. Because think about Atlanta. Whoever Atlanta is next year, we'd have to look at the cap space. Whoever Atlanta is next year will pay Dak what Dallas is not willing to pay him. And you remember that you're not going to be paid. He will remember that they didn't pay him.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I don't know that that would be the case if the Dallas Cowboys are close to whatever team would offer him the most money next offseason, right? So I think the Cowboys could lower the cap hit by not extending him and just kind of converting that salary to signing bonus. They could lower the cap hit, which allows them to put the pieces in place and then decide exactly what they want to pay Dak, the level of commitment that they want to go to, based on how the year plays itself out. But again, it doesn't stop them from being able to address CeeDee Lamb's contract, doesn't stop them from giving Michael Parsons his money, and it doesn't stop them from going shopping this offseason if they want to dip their foot in the expensive end of the free agent pool. So I think that Dallas is, I'm not going to say at a great spot because Dak has a ton of leverage, but they're not in a position where I don't think they can't improve their football club significantly over the coming weeks.
Do you think there's a part of Dak, though, that it's like, I've had to prove myself to you time and time again, and I still don't feel wanted, that he maybe be really is just kind of over the situation?
Well, he had a chance to be over it after they franchise tagged him the second time and they couldn't do it a third time. He could have went to anybody else. He decided to run it back with Dallas. They paid him $40 million a year. So I guess based on that history is why I wouldn't rule out the Dallas Cowboys being able to come to some type of understanding agreement before the start of free agency next year, even if they can't hammer out a contract extension this offseason. I think Jerry is more than content playing out the string. And let's remember, Dak has done this three times. He did it at the end of his rookie year. He did it after the first franchise. He did it after the second franchise tag. He has been in one-year propositions before. It's not something that's uncomfortable for him. But I guess what Jerry Jones wants to see is Dak produce. And what Jack wants to see is the quarterback market continuing to do what it's been doing the last several years, which is go up, up, and up.
So, again, pretty big news from Adam Schefter with us this morning that there has been no progress made whatsoever in Dak Prescott's long-term deal with the Dallas Cowboys. There is progress, and the best way for you to get your tickets, and that is by way of Vivid Seats.
Yes, secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every dunk, every slap shot, and every stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase from buzzer beaters to walk-off home run. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two,
Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The game tag still has it. You play it right now as an adult, you're still going to have fun. Just saying. Tag. Important thing. Important game.
Follow up. Have you been playing tag recently?
I would play with my kids. I haven't played recently, but I still think it's got it. I think it's one of those childhood games where it still holds up to this day. Yeah, I really do believe that. It's fun. You don't need anything other than to run around.
Do you allow them to win in tag? Or do you beat them every chance you get?
How dare you ask me that question. I would never allow my kids to win.
You would never allow no participation
way.
Trophies?
No way. If my kids want to...
James Harrison Jeez. Of New York City.
No, if my son wants to play basketball, right? He plays at a young age, 10 years old now. I'm not letting him beat me in one-on-one. Mm. I'm not letting him beat me in horse. Problem is he beat me the last two times we played horse. I digress.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, not good. Anyway, but I'm just saying tag still holds up. It does. It's a childhood game that still holds up that people would enjoy playing today. Today is a big day when it comes to tag because it is the last day you can franchise tag players around the league. And one really interesting note came out yesterday that it has been reported the Miami Dolphins are not going to franchise tag their stud defensive lineman, Christian Wilkins. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you? That tells you they're doing everything in their power to make sure that they have enough money to keep their quarterback Tua long term. Why? I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude about that. I mean to be just factual. Why? You don't actually have to do this yet. He is on his fifth-year deal. He's in the $20 millions this year. You could, if he's great, you could franchise him next year. It's not necessarily going to make him thrilled that he doesn't have a long-term contract, but I haven't seen enough to give Tua a long-term deal, so I'm going to take it, Smalls, year by year, but that is clearly not what they're doing because if they're letting pieces go, they're saving up money for him.
Yeah, they're telling you that they believe in him and that they would rather get the deal done now rather than wait because they're assuming that his play is only going to continue to increase and that number and the market will dictate that that the price tag goes up. I am kind of torn on this one because I do think that Tua showed us a lot this year. He was able to stay healthy the entirety of the season. He was able to progress in a lot of ways. He has synergy with their head coach, Mike McDaniel. But the other side of me is like, you're right. I still have concerns about him. I still have questions about Tua, the quarterback. And so I might hit pause on the deal, even though I know it might cost me a little bit more down the road.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big number for Tua. I mean, what they're projecting him to make, $55 million a year on a contract extension, that's a huge number. And letting go quality players like Christian Wilkins, I don't think moves you closer to being able to contend for your division title. And, Ev, for the life of me, I cannot get past Tua losing consequential games down the stretch where he's head-to-head with certain quarterbacks. Like losing head-to-head against Will Levis on Monday Night Football at home, no excuse for it, right?
That's a turning point of this era of Dolphins football. No joke. That loss right there that you just brought up, I think will be a turning point moment. Because either it's not going to matter, we're going to look back and then say Tua's the guy, or you should have known then that Tua wasn't the guy.
No doubt about it. But then also losing regular season finale at home against the Buffalo Bills, which then forced you to go on the road wild card weekend and getting blasted by the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you're paying Tua that kind of money because you think he can be the difference in games like that.
Right.
That changed the trajectory of your team, the course of a season. And unfortunately, he didn't play well in those games. And then on top of that, Ev, this is not a Miami Dolphins squad that beat a lot of good teams. I want to say their record is 1-6 against teams with a winning record this past year. So what the hell am I paying him $55 million for? Why am I guaranteeing him $100 million? It just doesn't make sense. The projected deal for Tua this offseason, 4 years, $220 million, with $105 million guaranteed at signing and $165 million as a practical guarantee. Why am I in a rush to give him that money knowing that I've got the fifth-year option this year at, what, $25 million or whatever it is, and then I've got the franchise tag next year, which will be somewhere in the low to mid-40s. I don't understand why I would be in a rush to pay Tua unless I was trying to have, you know, validation or confirmation that I took the right quarterback once upon a time in the 2020 NFL draft.
So let me go to the point you just made. It's a very good one. So if you're looking at this and you're saying, so like somebody could listen and say, what's the difference between extending Dak now and extending Tua now? You guys are all saying extend Dak. Well, or not extend Dak. We're having that discussion. After the season, the Cowboys cannot franchise him. Dak is an unrestricted free agent. There's they have no rights.
Exactly.
The Dolphins have rights to keep the player, in this case, Tua. So what you just said, let's call it 40 or so million. So he makes 23 this year. So basically, you could sign Tua, if you do a series of 2 1-year deals, to a 2-year, call it $65 million deal. That is $10 million more than a 1-year projected cost at $55 million. Think about that for a second. You would pay him on a long-term $55 a year versus $65 over 2 years. How is this a debate? He has not proven himself enough to get a 4-year, $250 million contract. Mm-hmm. He has proven himself for you to say, you know what, Tua? We're going to make you a player that is going to have set-for-life money in a year. We're going to franchise you, and you're going to make 40-some-odd million dollars for 1 year. And we're okay with that.
I'm with you 1,000%. The only thing that I can fall back on, Ev, is this is a Chris Greer decision. This is about the GM who drafted him. Because Chris Greer in 2020 had the choice between Justin Herbert and Tua. And you know what? He drafted Tua over Justin Herbert. Mm. The Chargers paid Justin Herbert last year. They had already seen all they needed to see through the first 3 years. It sends a message to Tua, and it also sends a message to the powers that be in the Dolphins organization, that means the owner, Stephen Ross, that, hey, maybe I didn't get this choice right. If you're not willing to pay this guy a year after the guy in Justin Herbert that you could have drafted got paid, then what does that say about your decision in hindsight? That it might have been the wrong one. And that might be why the Miami Dolphins organization is ready to back up the Brinks truck for Tua. But again, it's trying to justify a bad situation, a bad decision, and that's throwing good money after bad. And I don't think that leads to anywhere the Dolphins fans want to go. So I don't understand what the hurry would be. And I know I said this past year that I needed to see Tua play in all the regular season games plus playoffs. He did that this year.
He did.
I don't want to sound like I'm moving the goalposts, but I can't look at what I saw at the end of the season in those consequential games and how poorly Tua played and justify paying him a top-of-the-market contract. I can't see paying him the same as Joe Burrow on average annual value. I can't see him paying him more than Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert. He's not that kind of quarterback. I can't do it. It's just not good business. So it'll be interesting to see what the Miami Dolphins do, but them not franchising Christian Wilkins is a prelude to this actually happening. This is going to get done. And I'm saying it before it actually gets announced that this would be a bad decision for the Miami Dolphins.
Does anyone in sports have more leverage than an above average quarterback? You know, we see this so many times that the market dictates that these guys are going to come in at a certain number with these contracts. And even though we have questions about them and they're in that gray area because of the position, because of the need, and because of your desire to not start over, you have to match that number, even if you aren't 100% sure that this person is the guy. And Tua is sitting pretty right now. The fact that the team was good enough, he was good enough, and he was healthy, he's in a high leverage situation right now.
No, I'm not saying that he's not in a high leverage situation, but I also know that it's a situation where the tail is wagging the dog a little bit. Everybody wants to look at the productivity and Tua leading the league in passing yards and saying, oh, well, it's there. He led the league in passing yards. Right. He played in all the games. They got to the playoffs in back-to-back years with him starting the majority of games. He's the guy. No. They're paying a wide receiver $30 million a year to prop up Tua. They drafted Jalen Waddle with a top 10 pick to prop up Tua.
That means you don't have
a quarterback. That means you don't have a quarterback. Remember what Tua looked like in the two quarters he was out? Tyreek Hill was out against the Tennessee Titans. Do we remember what he looked like?
Yes.
He was lost. He was lost. You cannot rely on all the pieces around him to make him better when you're paying him $55 million a year. It just can't happen. It's not sustainable in today's NFL.
What you're saying are the wide receivers are the ones who get it done, not the quarterback, just like Granger for the ones who get it
done. Yes, like Tyreek Hill for the ones who get it done. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by Granger for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
That's funny.
Well, now you got to say it.
Well, you got to bring the people behind the curtain, Ev.
So,
you're the one directing traffic during the break.
I'm just listening to Nuno, our producer. I'm not blaming Nuno. I'm just telling you. So Nuno said to me, hey, can you send Rob out to do something to get Tim Legler to come in at some point? Rob's our social and digital guy. I said, Rob, can you see if Legs is there? He thought I said lights. So he adjusted the lights in our studio when I said Legs.
Well, you know, the more you can do. Not only was he going versatile to get Tim Legler, but he's going to make sure that the lighting hits us just right. Mm.
I didn't realize those lights could be brighter than they already are.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. It's really intense in here. Really intense.
Well, we got brighter lights, and I think we're going to have Legs at some point.
Yeah, we got Legs coming.
Here he
all
comes.
Right. All right, there he is. America's analyst is here, Tim Legler. Yeah, right over there.
Come on.
All right,
in.
So let's have Legs weigh in on the important stuff here.
Oh, can you pass me?
Here we go. Here we go.
I got something for you. I can stand.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you can go.
I was going to add, Legs, I was going to bring you in on this conversation.
Apologize, I'm late.
In or out on peanut butter?
In and out, I'm in.
Yeah.
Definitely in. Like, yeah. Who's out on peanut butter?
Well, I mean,
unless you're allergic.
I mean, peanut butter naked though. Like when you just have a peanut butter, a jar of peanut butter.
Okay, you get into
spoon.
Something else. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying.
I didn't know.
That's what I got. That's what I. How
TMI.
I reacted, Legs. Like how,
I
are, you,
got
how are you eating peanut butter by itself?
I'm not.
But
really.
There's no vehicle for the peanut. Like it's not peanut butter
and
jelly.
And I used to be a PBJ guy as a kid. I like those peanut butter and like a good snack at the airport. Peanut butter and cheddar crackers. You know those?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
exactly
yeah.
What you're talking about.
That's a good snack for the plane.
Yeah.
What would you know about that, Evan? What would you know about that?
Exactly. You've got to have some type of vehicle for it. It's got to be a cracker or a cookie or something. You just can't go peanut butter naked.
All right.
No.
What did you have for us, America's analyst? He analyzes everything.
What do I have for you?
You said you had something for
us.
Yeah,
I do. I'm just like, listen. She's by far my favorite now on this show. How do you have me in here?
Oh, boy.
Ask my opinion on hibachi.
Right.
And then don't vote me in your top three people you'd like to have hibachi dinner with.
Easy answer.
And she puts me number one.
Easy answer. Well, that's Michelle put you number one because I already drafted you for a previous draft.
Yep.
Once you draft someone,
all right.
They're off the board altogether.
Man.
I put you
in. You actually had a good explanation here.
Listen,
I had a lot more. I had a lot more ammo.
Well, let's hear the rest.
And you completely disarmed me.
Let's hear the rest.
No, you disarmed me. I have no answer to that. Did you draft me in something? Because I wasn't on your list either.
I did not draft you.
Okay, but I have a bigger problem with him.
No, I did draft you. I did draft you. Holiday decorations.
Oh, okay.
We did something with the holidays.
We just made it up.
No, we did something with the holidays.
I love her answer on that tweet that was sent out, right, because of my percentage on catching the shrimp.
82.7
My whole point
is
I did draft him. I drafted Legs.
All right.
Don't remember exactly what it was, but my explanation was He loved the holidays.
Okay. So all right. I don't know.
I'm sensing a food theme when I come in here. You know, peanut butter, babachi.
You know, for somebody so prepared, you weren't that prepared for that. I'm just saying that. All right. Now, last night.
I drafted legs for top three babysitters. Our fearless producer.
Oh, you can babysit. Oh,
top three babysitters.
Yeah, that's a good.
I trust to trust a man with your kids.
Definitely. That's a good one. 100%.
And he has a relatively young kid, so perfect.
I got a great set of hands. I won't drop them.
There you go.
All right, legs. I don't want to overreact too much, but I will. Last night is exactly why I don't want to be a one or a two seed in the West, because I want no part of the Lakers or Warriors in the first round if I don't have to. Thunder losing to the Lakers last night. Where are you on that concept that one or two in the West may be a bad thing this year?
I mean, it's you know, a statement that I obviously agree with because of what the Lakers represent physically. And look, Oklahoma City, if there's one thing about them that is a weakness that you worry about is size. In the middle. Chet Holmgren is a impact defensive player. Chet Holmgren, you know, is 190 pounds, soaking wet. When you put size against them, and Nurkic just had 31 rebounds against that team. Yusuf Nurkic. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis last night. The stuff he can do in the paint. LeBron as well, turning the corner, getting to them. That is one issue for the Thunder. Now, they can be so good offensively, it doesn't matter. They can overcome that, and they do a lot of nights. And they probably have, outside of Denver and Boston, the best continuity in their starting five of any team in the league. But this is an issue, like the ability to keep bigger, stronger teams away from the rim and controlling the game in the paint. You saw it out of the Lakers last night. So look, obviously we talk more about the Lakers than any team in NBA history. This Lakers team this year, I feel like, no matter what's going on, we're talking about the Lakers. I don't want to jump on this roller coaster with them. I understand, like, people are all excited. They're 10-4 in their last 14. Like, they've had some bottom feeder wins. They've had some good wins, but they've also lost to some good teams during that stretch. So let's just wait and see how this all shakes out. Here's the deal. I think they're still going to be a play-in team.
Yeah.
I don't know you make up three games in the loss column on Phoenix in New Orleans. I don't think you catch those teams. So you're talking about getting into a precarious, like a one-off potentially situation. Or if you're a 7-8, maybe you have two chances to win a game. You get into a first-round series, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, at that time, and the Lakers are still playing this well, you're going to have a lot of people pick the Lakers to win those series.
Yeah, but I've been burned by D'Angelo Russell too many times before.
I hear you. He was out of his mind in the fourth quarter. This has been one of the best stretches he's had as a Laker.
No doubt about it.
He's turning into a guy that you can consistently count on, like, to give them that supplemental 20 points. Like, where is it going to come from? He and Austin Reeves, like, it was like take turns on a given night. Now it's like Russell every night.
Yeah.
And then Austin Reeves, you know, he's a good player, but he's not always going to give you that extra offense you need. Russell's doing it literally every night right now.
Dinwiddie wasn't bad, too. That second unit would overcome that early wave by the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I do want to ask you about the Milwaukee Bucks. Don't look now, 6-0 since the All-Star break. Nice win without Giannis against the L.A. Clippers. Are you at the point now where you want to buy stock in the Bucks as a legitimate contender in the Eastern Conference? Are they going to be a legitimate challenger to the Boston Celtics?
It's so wild how the NBA season works, because going into the year, it was, to me, clearly two teams. Milwaukee-Boston, collision course, conference finals, no question about it. And then, you know, you get into the season, and the Bucks were so bad defensively for so long. And the Knicks looked good, and they added guys, and I couldn't wait to see them. The Cavs have been really good in the mix. The Heat are always lurking. So, you're wondering, maybe the Bucks won't be that team that stands up to the Celtics. At the end of the day, it's who it's going to be. That's who it's going to be. And a lot of it has to do with the Knicks' health. I don't know if we're going to see a sustained run where they have all of these pieces out there at the same time to see what that looks like. Because it takes time to get rhythm and defensive communications and a rotation for Thibodeau, because they have so many guys to play. I don't know if we're going to get that. If you get 10 to 12 games out of the Knicks, they could still be a team that, you know, would really challenge a team like the Bucks in the second round. You have to avoid the Celtics until the conference finals if you want to have a run at it. At the end of the day, it's going to be Boston, Milwaukee, 1-2, and I would say 90% chance that's who we're going to get in the conference finals based on the way the Bucks look right now. They're playing harder. It's not that complicated to be better defensively sometimes. How about you just play harder? But which means maybe Doc has a way of saying certain things to them and garnishing the respect that you need, and accountability to call guys out that you need to improve that by 10-15%, because that's all we're talking about. He's gotten that out of them.
Tim, we're talking about teams that could stand up to the Celtics, a team that didn't recently, the Golden State Warriors. We've been kind of... that was brutal.
Understatement of the year.
That was brutal. We've been kind of talking about the Warriors, like, is it time to put them to bed, or is it foolish to count them out because of their championship DNA? Where are you at with that?
They're in bed. They're in bed. The story's been read. Right? The nightlight's still on. That's the way I would describe that. The nightlight's still on.
Okay. We have the music.
This is getting back to the babysitting thing. The nightlight is still on. That's basically where I'm at with the Warriors. But, you know, Steph Curry's the child you just put to bed. So you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to wait and see. Right. He could get up in the middle of the night. That's the analogy we're going to use here. Look, you know, it's hard. It's hard to just completely put him to bed. What happened on Sunday was this perfect storm of a team that was, you know, tired, undermanned, and LeCurry wasn't even sure he was going to play, running into a team that is operating at the highest level of efficiency offensively that absolutely ends you from the three-point line. And so this buzzsaw created that, and it doesn't matter if it's 20 or 50, to be honest with you. It really doesn't matter. What Kerr said is true. This is the kind of thing the Warriors can easily forget because the Celtics aren't their measuring stick. If that was their measuring stick, this is like, okay, wow. It's not. Their measuring stick is just be relevant in the West. Let's just get into the mix in the Western Conference. And I think they still have a chance to do that. And what Evan said is true. Like, do you want to play that team in a first-round series if you're Oklahoma City or Minnesota? My answer would be no. That wouldn't be your choice to get a team like the Warriors. So I'm not quite ready to unplug that nightlight and say, see you tomorrow.
Well, we saw in the last 10 minutes as to why this man was an NBA player for a decade, basically, won a three-point competition. We saw the competitiveness. He was so angry that he wasn't drafted, even though he was drafted. Tim Legler, America's analyst. You'll see him on Get Up First Take. As always, we're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.